Before I go up on the platform for the message, I wanted to just share a few things. One, again, thank you to those who decorated. We really appreciate that work that you did last Sunday. It's nice to see the church looking so festive and joyous. And we think of singing joy to the world. There is great joy because of Jesus. He is Savior and Lord. I was listening to a song yesterday as Susan and I were traveling, and it was a song that says, "A baby changes everything." Maybe you've heard that one. And one of the phrases that song had in it was that she cries. She cried. And it's thinking of Mary and the struggle that she was having as the time was coming for her to have the child, that she cried. And then, I thought, that's an unusual thought, and yet it's not. Unusual in the sense that we have decorations like this one here that looks, Mary just looks so peaceful. Everything's great. But think about what it would have been like for her. She has surrendered to the will of God. Wasn't she in the will of God? She surrendered to the will of God. Let it be to me as you have said. And so she is going to give birth to the Savior. They're still poor. They have to leave their home in Nazareth and head down to Bethlehem for the census. And as they're going down, it's a hard journey. She's near time to give birth, traveling along. Our doctors don't let us travel now if you're getting close. But she had to. She didn't have a choice. And then when they got there and they go from door to door looking for a place to stay, they're rejected. If you were in the center of God's will, wouldn't that sort of disturb you? People don't recognize this. People aren't accepting us. People aren't making space for us. But we know even all of that was within the will of God, because it was His will that in that manger, that stable, would be the place where the Savior of the world would be born. But it wasn't always easy. And it wasn't, especially at the beginning. And even soon after, when the wise men had come and there was the danger to the child, they had to flee to Egypt. Things were not peaceful necessarily for them, although it was a message of peace and joy to the whole world, because God was bringing His peace through His Son, Jesus. So just that song really struck me yesterday, thinking about what it would have been like for Mary. We sometimes give ourselves to help somebody else. And when they don't appreciate it or they don't respond how we think they should, we might sort of get ourselves up in a dander and say, well, enough of that. But Mary kept at it. And of course, Joseph as well. And we could say the rest is history, but it's the idea of that person who loves the Lord in the center of His will and sacrifices isn't always going to be welcomed, but they are blessed. And we think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the blessed among women. Amazing that she sacrificed. And it wasn't easy for her during her life either. And they didn't always understand exactly what this blessing of Jesus would be, as we see times where Mary and Jesus' brothers came to get Jesus one time, thinking maybe he's going a little bit too far, then we need to bring him back home. So they weren't always sure of what was happening. And even the prophecy that was given when Jesus was dedicated, I think it was Simeon saying that there will be a sword will pierce your own heart. Meaning for Mary, this was going to be tough. Jesus will be great, but it will be a times of sorrow also for her. So when we think about Christmas, we think of the joy and the peace, but sometimes it's difficult. And those who have lost loved ones near this time, it's especially difficult. Those on the military bases that had the shootings this week, that's a huge thing for them. We have a couple of friends who have had their husbands pass away this year, in the last few months. One I had a funeral for just a couple days ago. And it's a hard time for those families and that when that's going on. A friend of mine from college Ernie Conley, his wife Donna, their pastor. He's a pastor, and Donna just passed away. Was it yesterday morning? I think yesterday morning. And she had a lot of problems with diabetes, but it's been a long, long journey. And she's with the Lord now. There is peace and joy and for her, and yet for the family, it's a hard time. And being near Christmas, it always will be a memory and a hard time. So I want us to just spend a few moments in prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your glorious gift of Jesus. And Lord, that gift brings great joy to our lives, our hearts. And yet there was a great price that was paid. Mary, who dedicated herself, not knowing exactly what would be taking place and how her life would turn out, yet she gave herself to be the vessel that you wanted her to be. And Lord, things were tough, things were hard, things were difficult, and yet she continued to be faithful and brought Jesus into the world and then was his mother growing up. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for Joseph, who was willing to go ahead and marry her, even when his first thought was to set her aside. Lord, we thank you for these who are willing to follow you. And Lord, even as they followed you, they faced difficult times. Probably at times were confused by all the difficulties they had. After all, they were walking in your will. But Lord, you gave them strength and you carried them through. Lord, there are many who at this time of year who have lost loved ones who really struggle. And we pray for your comfort and your help and your strength for them. Lord, we ask for your mercy. We ask, Lord, for a sense of your presence and strength and comfort with them even now. And Lord, we thank you for the special answers to prayer that bring great joy, like Dave being able to swallow and set to come home tomorrow. Lord, we rejoice in what you're doing. We pray also for those in the military, those especially who've been impacted at Pensacola and at Pearl Harbor. We pray, Lord, for your help for these families. Lord, we pray for all those who serve to protect us and our country, those who are in the military, those who are first responders, those who protect us, Lord, in our local communities. We thank you for them and for their willingness to give of themselves for us. And we pray your blessing on them. Thank you, Lord. Be with us as we open up your word this morning. Help us to rejoice in your great love. In the precious name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus. Amen. At this season of the year, there are, if you on television, there are lots of different movies that are available that are Christmas-oriented or the Hallmark movies. Even having a Hallmark channel these days that you can see these things all the time. But those are available for our enjoyment. Now, there's a common theme to all of those movies, and the theme is love. There was a man who told me that he could tell me how every Hallmark movie was going to work. He said, there's going to be somebody that has a family business that's going belly up. And there's a big problem. There's some character who returns to his hometown to help out in the business. And while he's there, he happens to see somebody that he used to know. And suddenly romance blossoms and everything works out. And there's new relationship. There are even templates online that you can go to develop your own Hallmark movie story. You can go on and it tells you here, pick out a problem, you know, do that, and you can work out the plot. They're so predictable in that sense. My point in bringing up the movies is that there's a universal longing of everyone for love. That's one of the reasons these movies touch our hearts. There's that longing for love. A love that loves me as I am. A love that sees beyond the problem that I'm in and sees me as a person. And somehow, in every holiday movie, love triumphs, and it brings a glorious rescue. Now, those are the movies that we see, and they're all on sort of an earthly plane. But now let's lift up our eyes to the heavens. In the story of our humanity, we have a failure of behavior, a failure of relationship, our relationship with God. And that failure is called sin. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. And we are in bondage to our own desires, our sins, our lusts, our wishes. Without someone to rescue us, we are desperately doomed to stay in our own failure for all time and eternity. There is no hope in our own strength. But then, love appears. A love that is greater than our sin. Love that is determined to rescue us. For God so loved the world. 1 John chapter 4 says, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." John 15:13. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." John 10:17-18. "I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." 1 John 4:10. "This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." You catch the theme? Love. God has declared his love for us. He's declared his love for us in spite of our behavior, our sin, our rebellion. And beyond just declaring his love, he has shown it by sending Jesus, God incarnate, God in the flesh, to give himself for us so that we could be forgiven. So now let's go back to that so-called Hallmark plot theme. There's a problem without a solution. Our sins have ensnared us and will not let go. Try as we might, we can't overcome them and earn our way into relationship with God. We cannot make ourselves worthy of heaven. But, praise God, there is a benefactor who expresses that true love and care, and it's God the Father through his Son, Jesus. And then comes love's rescue and a new relationship, this one with the amazing God Almighty. Let's pause in prayer before we dig deeper into God's word. Let's pray. Father, we are amazed at your love. That you love us in spite of our rebellion, in spite of our sin, in spite of actions that have caused shame to your name. Lord, we thank you that you love us and that you reach out to us in Jesus, so that we might come to you through him to be forgiven, to be restored to relationship, to be given new life. Thank you, Almighty God. Help us as we open up your word this morning. Speak to our hearts in the precious name of your Son, our Savior. Amen. If you turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, Gospel of John chapter 15, Gospel of John chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 9. Gospel of John chapter 15. Beginning at verse 9. "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. When we read a passage like this, we recognize that love is what it's all about. 8 times love is mentioned in this short passage. The Father's love for the Son, Jesus. Jesus' love that he's pouring out on his followers. And then the love of a believer for Jesus, and shown as our obedience to him, but also for their brothers and sisters in Christ. We are to love one another. Now notice that when we hear this about love, that love always has a direction. Love always has a direction. The Father's love moves in the direction of the Son. The Son's love moves in the direction of his followers. The followers' love moves in the direction both Godward and to one another. And there are other places in the Scripture that talk about our responsibility as believers to love even those who do not yet know Jesus. That we share that love with other people. So this love has a direction. Isn't that right when you think about it? Love has a direction. Love has a direction, and that direction is outward. Love moves outward to touch others. Love, true love, is best expressed outwardly rather than when it's turned inwardly on ourselves. Greater love has no one than this, than we lay down one's life for one's friends. The Father gives the Son. The Son gives his life. We give ourselves to Christ and to each other. This amazing love is really incredible. So let's think about this incredible love. There are some people who seem to care only about themselves. You probably know some people who seem stuck on themselves. And their love seems to be pointed inward. Now, what are some words, nice words, relatively speaking, nice words that describe a person who's only thinking about themselves? What are some words that describe that person? Selfish? Egocentric. Sad. It is sad. They may not think it's sad. Self-centered. Self-centered, yeah. There's another one that you may recognize the word, but it's from Greek mythology. Narcissus, who was so in love with himself that he's looking at his reflection in a pool and starves because he can't take his eyes off himself. That's because a narcissist who's always just thinking about themselves. Vain, conceited, self-absorbed, and our others that we've shared. These are people who are eager to receive love because it's all about them. But they seem uninterested or unable to show love to others. Now, we're looking at different types of people. So there are those who seem to be all about loving themselves but can't seem to express it to anyone else. But then there are some who are able to love and show love to others who are lovable. People who treat them nicely. People who are kind to them. They are able to love those individuals. People who look like us or act like us, it's easier for us to love them. And so there's that level of love. And then there are incredible people who love people that we would just naturally not love. That's saying it nicely, or we would hate. All right? Think about this. A person has murdered your child. Would you love that person? And yet I've read stories or testimonies of parents whose children have been murdered, the murderer is in prison, And the parents ask, can we go see the man in prison? Not to blast him, but to offer forgiveness. That's incredible. That's a whole different level. In 2006, I had to look this up to make sure how long ago. It seems like it was not too long ago. That says something about my age. But 2006, there was a man who shot 11 children, killing five of them in an Amish schoolhouse in eastern Pennsylvania. He then killed himself. The world was horrified by this terrible tragedy and then was astonished by the response of the Amish community to this killer's parents. Here's just one example from an article in a Washington Post article. The world watched in amazement as on the day of their son's funeral, this is the killer's funeral, nearly 30 Amish men and women, some the parents of the victims, came to the cemetery and formed a wall to block out media cameras. Parents whose daughters had died at the hand of their son approached the couple after the burial and offered condolences for their loss. There's more in that article that tells about them reaching out to each other. It's an amazing story, and it does describe that they had to choose to forgive. They had to decide to forgive, and they had to decide to forgive each day because it was hard, but they would choose to act in forgiveness, even when they didn't feel like it. When we consider people who commit horrible crimes, we more naturally think that maybe if the culprit is caught, he fesses up to his crime, he changes his ways, and then maybe if he proves himself over time, then we might think about forgiving. But they forgave right away. We certainly never would think that we need to offer love when a person continues to attack us, and yet think about our God. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were enemies of God, Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, while we were his enemies, he gave himself for us. That's incredible love. Greater love has no one than what? We lay down our life for our friends. The story of Christmas is a story of love. In our humanity, we're the culprits. We're the bad guys. We're the ones who need to pay the price. We're the destroyers. We're the vengeful. We're the hating. The ones who are without hope. God could have turned his back on us and just let us go our way. Or he could have simply destroyed us. We really deserve nothing more than that. But what did he do? The Gospel of Luke says, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living in the fields, out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." When love appeared, a child was born. A son was given. A Savior arose and gave his life. How do you respond to that kind of love? How will you respond? Maybe with wonder, to think that the God who made this universe would give his only son for us. It blows our minds. Wonder. thankfulness, to be so thankful that God didn't just let us go our own way, but he called us to himself and he sent his son for us. That's way beyond the call of duty, we would say, and way beyond us. But that's what God has done. We might respond with a loving faith, believing and trusting in the gift that God has given through Jesus, that we might be forgiven, that we might be brought into relationship with God through our precious Savior Jesus. We love him because he first, what? Loved us. 1 John 4:19. Do you love Jesus? Have you placed your faith in him? Have you embraced the one who's reaching out to rescue you? Remember that Hallmark movie plot? A huge dilemma or problem that is insurmountable. Someone from the outside comes in who can make a difference. Love blossoms, and then love sacrifices to meet the issue, to solve the issue. And a loving relationship brings about happiness. We look at our salvation story. We have a huge dilemma that is more than any of us can overcome. It's called sin, our rebellion against God and his ways. But Jesus has come, the one and only Son of God, the one who has the power and ability to save us, to forgive us, to bring us into relationship with God. And how do you write the end of your story? We have these plot lines. How will you write the end of your story personally? Will you receive God's love? Will you come to him for his forgiveness? Will you give yourself to him to live in a new relationship with him? He loves you. Will you respond in love to him? Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, we are astounded by your love. Love that is so great. Love that is so special. Love that sets a standard for us that we cannot even arise to, but a love that makes the difference, not just now, not just today, but forever, for all eternity. Because you chose not to let us go our own way, but you reached out to us. All throughout the scriptures, the plan of salvation is being told of how you were working out your will, bringing forth that time when your son would be given and would give his life on the cross to pay the price for our sins. So that then all nations of the world would have that opportunity, all people groups, to respond to the love of God and give their hearts to Jesus and be brought into relationship with him. One great family. One group of those who are called out to belong to you. Those who are called your church in the broadest sense. Your family, your body, your people. Lord, we cry out to you that you would help us to know your love, to respond to your love from our own hearts, and to express your love to others around us. Lord, as we come closer and closer to the actual celebration of the birth of Christ, help us to express your love to the ones all around us, especially to those who are giving of themselves for others. We praise you. We ask for your strength, your blessing, your anointing, your love. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you and give you a terrific week. Susan and I will not be with you until after Christmas now, so we'll wish you a Merry Christmas and pray that God will bless you with great joy. And after Christmas, we're going to be going in January, Lord willing, overseas to see our son Tim and his wife, and we look forward to that time, and we'll be able to give you a report on that in the days to come. God bless you. Have a great week.